We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
So, Palm Sunday is not just about this triumphant entry of Jesus. Now, of course, that's what it was. But I want to talk to you about it. There's so much in that story that is literally about the presence of Jesus. It's about the presence of Jesus. And so my hope today is that you will not only leave with an understanding of what Palm Sunday is, but how we can actually apply it to our lives in the angle of Jesus' presence. Is that all right? Would you flip with me to Matthew 21? I'm going to read this to you. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them and he will immediately let you take them." Continuing, it says, "This took place to fulfill the prophecy." Say, "Fulfill the prophecy." "That said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Continuing. It's a computer issue, I promise. They're pushing buttons back there. let's go one more. We just read that one. The next one. The next one. Most of the crowd, now it doubled up. I'm going to read it right here. I promise you. It says this: "Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." Jesus, what kind of branches do you suppose would be around there? Yeah, ha, Palm Sunday. Woo, we got it. Jesus was in the, all right, I'm going to read it again because I got sidetracked, squirrel. "And others cut branches from the trees." From the trees. "And spread them on the road." Jesus was in the center of the procession. Say center. "And the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who has come in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven.'" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." What is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is about Jesus' entry. It's about the king is coming. It's about the king is coming. And these people, they're taking off their own clothes. They're cutting down tree branches. And they're honoring the king. They're laying them on the ground all over the streets so that as he comes in on his donkey, it becomes this amazing procession. And people are shouting and they're excited. But what is it about? It's about the presence of Jesus. It's about the presence of Jesus. And so I want to talk to you about the presence of Jesus. And when I read this story, what I pull from it, and I believe that we can apply it to our lives, okay? So what happened this day? Number one, people became aware of his presence. People became aware of Jesus' presence. And you know what? When we become aware of Jesus' presence in our life, things begin to change, don't they? See, when you hear, back in that day, people had heard, the news had spread about all the miracles and all the things that Jesus had done. They understood who this man, because that's what they're like, okay, well, this guy, he was, you know, the one over there from Nazareth, he's doing all these amazing things, but he's opening the eyes of the blind. He's doing all this stuff. And so they hear that Jesus is coming. And when they heard it, all of a sudden, things started to change. They're like, I got to see him. I got to go and see him with my own eyes. What is he going to do today? What's the last time you woke up and said, man, I got to get up. I don't know what Jesus is going to do today. I got to stir in me my faith, because you know what? Today's not a waste day. Today's not a drainer. Today's not a day that I'm just going to, well, I guess I'll go to work and pay my bills. God has purpose for every day. It's whether or not you choose to walk it out. You feel like, man, I've done nothing for the last week. Well, it's not because there was an opportunity. It's because you're not looking. Because God has an intent. He's intentional about every breath. How intentional are we with our breath? Do we take it for granted, or do we see it that he's granted us another breath for his intentions? Are you following me? Man, they became aware of Jesus' presence. Number two, this is something big. His presence changed their plans. His presence changed their plans. I promise you, this whole town wasn't, without work. This whole town wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. Jesus' presence changed their plans. They said, Jesus is coming. Oh my goodness, I'm finally getting a chance to meet him. I finally get to get near him. He's coming to my town. He's coming to my house. He's coming to my area. And so they got so excited. They're like, oh, I got to do something. And someone's like, oh, I'm glad I wore two cloaks. You know? They got to do something. Their plans changed. They're like, tell so-and-so I'm not coming. Tell the boss I'm going to be delayed. Jesus is coming and things are got to change. I've got to change my morning. Anyone change their morning for unexpected plans? Someone goes, oh, all these people, they didn't sit around doing nothing. These were all different types of people from their society that literally changed their plans for the day because they became aware of Jesus' presence. I think about it. Have you ever changed your plans for something that came up and you thought, I have to be there. I have to be there. I remember, whatever it was, 15 years ago, 16, yeah, probably 15 years ago, maybe a little less, I don't know. I remember when the Super Bowl, the Patriots won their very first Super Bowl. And I was just like, oh, what? And there was going to be a rolling rally. And it was going to be in Boston. And it was going to be on a day where I had other plans, but I did not have plans anymore. I promise you. I was like, I am going to be there. I want to see that thing. I felt a part of that season like most fans in New England do. They couldn't have done it without me, I got to be there to rally. I mean, that duck boat might not go if I'm not there. So you change your plans. I literally changed my plans that day. And I did one of the worst things ever as a youth pastor. I helped other youth skip school to come with me. They were seniors. You know that year doesn't count. Told the sophomores, no, you need to read good. No, and so I remember taking them. And we all went down there. And there's just this like, wow, this buzz, and that's that guy Tom Brady we're just now talking about, and I remember that, but you have to understand, when something amazing happens, you're willing to change your plans. You're willing to say, you know what, I know that I had this planned, but this thing may be an opportunity I don't get to see tomorrow. See, our problem is we take for granted our tomorrows, thinking that they'll come. Our problem is that because we're up today, and we had it yesterday, we expect the same thing to happen tomorrow. But if we actually considered that maybe today would be the last day we had this opportunity, maybe we would live differently. I almost got the bug to play you a country song. Don't fail. I was going to play you To Live Like You Were Dying, what it feels to live like you were dying. One day I hope that you'll get a chance to live like you were dying. Because maybe if we understood that we are dying, if we understood that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, maybe we would change our plans more frequently for the sake of what God is trying to do. His presence changed their plans. Jesus' presence, the opportunity to be where he is going to move, should stir you and make you excited. You're here. You're here. You knew. You woke up this morning and you said, I'm going to church. No matter how my body feels, no matter if I drove in from a conference at 12 or 1 in the morning, I'm getting up and I'm going to church because what God could do today, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be the guy that hears. Have you ever noticed whenever you don't go to church, that was the best Sunday anyone's ever seen? They're like, it was like, when I was like, oh, in worship, I was like, ah, and I was like, God, I was crying, and I could, oh, man, and then someone read my mail, they said, you, and then they prophesied that I was going to be, and then it was going to, and I was like, oh, where were you? Where Jesus' presence is, that's where we're to be. And now I understand his presence is indwelling. Amen? We get that? But where two or three are gathered in his name. Woo, you want to tap dance? Don't tap dance. You might tear meniscus like I did. They I'm telling you, they changed their plans because of Jesus' presence. And you know what I love about the story? Number three, when I read this story, they desired to lay something down to honor him. They desired, there was such this stirring, this thing in them that was like, I got to do something. And I truly believe that when we are in the presence of God, that when Jesus comes in and we are aware of his presence, when we are allowing him into our lives, it stirs us, it humbles us to want to honor him and lay something down. People, they're like, I don't know what to do. And some people are cutting down tree branches. They're cutting down leaves. They're laying them down. And they're just, I got to put something down. Someone's like, there's no more branches. There's no more branches. I got to do something. Oh, my Lord. Here. I'm naked. You got to do something. A little chilly. That snow yesterday got me. But I'm telling you, they had to do something. And my question to you is, if you're not doing anything, are you even aware of his presence? Are you even paying attention? Jesus changes things in our life. He transforms us from the inside out. He makes us aware that we don't deserve things. Man, God, I do not deserve your goodness. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve it. I got to do something. I just get to call on your name. And because I believe in your son, you give me access. I don't deserve it. I got to do something. What are you doing? Are you aware of his presence? The king has come. He's among us. Whew. Look what it says in verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. When we are aware of Jesus and what he means and how he changes the story for our eternity, we too should be overwhelmed with the sense of, I need to bring him something. I need to give him something. I need to honor him somehow. I need to do something to show my appreciation. Have you ever done something for someone and they were so appreciative and you're like, seriously, it was nothing. Like, it wasn't a problem. I was going there anyway. I didn't mind dropping you off, or, you know, it wasn't a problem. I was here and the mess happened, so I cleaned it up. Anyone would do that. Whatever it is, you know, people are appreciative of it. But can I tell you, it seems like, well, what's the difference? If I go and serve in that ministry, what's it going to do? Can I tell you that Jesus appreciates what we do to honor him? He appreciates us, and we're like, it was nothing. I got up an extra 30 minutes, and I went down there, and I smiled and shook people's hands. It was nothing. And Jesus is like, but you don't understand. You honored me in your actions. You chose to do this for me, not just to fill a slot. This wasn't about duty. This was about me. His presence should change us. It should humble us. It should make us want to lay something down. And I'll tell you right now, there are people in here that you know, inside you, you know, you're like, man, I used to have God as my priority, but based on my actions, I can no longer lie to myself. He's not it. Based on what I am not doing, based on me not humbling myself, based on me not being stirred to do something for Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake. It's not using that out of vain when you're saying it for the right reason. For Jesus. If I'm not going to do it, then I got to be very aware of my situation. They couldn't help it. They were cutting down trees. Could you imagine the tree? Hey, stop that. Hey. People had to do something. They couldn't. You can tell I've been with youth lately, haven't you? I need to serve somewhere. I need to use my talents and gifts in the house. I need to sow into God's house sacrificially. Some were laying their clothes down, but I'm pleading with you to keep your clothes on. There are plenty of things you can do. You don't got to do that. But seriously, when we are in his presence, it should stir a deep desire to honor Christ in action. Tongue in cheek, no one's interested in that, neither is Jesus. Oh God, you know I'm first. You know I put you first. And he's like, tongue in cheek, what are you doing? What have you done for me lately? And people go, Chad, that is a hard word. I'm not looking to have a soft church. I'm looking to have people that are disciples of the one that laid his life down for us. I'm looking for us to have people in this place that they go, you know what, it's not about me. Goodness gracious. We need a hard word every once in a while. Ain't that right? Number four, when I read this, the thing that's amazing is they positioned themselves around him. Around him. This is where we got our new brand for our young adults ministry, Revolve. We revolve around him as our center. It was this scripture in which we saw this. And it says, the scripture says in verse 9, Jesus was in the center of the procession and the people were all around him. See, when we have an encounter with Jesus, that revelation moment, it begins to change our view on things. And we reposition our lives, we reposition our views, our perception changes, and we begin to place Jesus in the center of our world, not just a Sunday morning fringe relationship or weekend behavior. He becomes the center. When we go, oh my goodness, Jesus, I now understand who you are, and I've asked you to come into my life, and I'm seeing transformation. I can't help it. Everything's changing. I know I used to do that. Used to. Things change when he becomes the center. When your life revolves around Christ, things change. And it says that he became the center of the procession. Like, see, God's not against having a party. He's not against having a life of a party. As long as he's the center of it. He's okay with the parade of your life. The parade that is your life if he's at the center of it. If following Jesus was boring, I'm sure I would not have chosen. The most excitement I've ever had was choosing to do the thing that others said was crazy. Taking the leap of faith that others say is weird. Taking this stance that says, I don't even need you guys to agree with me. I have this revelation. I'm aware of his presence, and his presence has changed me. It's okay. Call me weird. You know, somebody said, Chad, what if for some reason you're wrong? And I said, I'm not. And they said, well, what if you are? I said, then I've lived a principled life that didn't do me any harm. If nothing else, it helped others. What have you done? And they're kind of like, oh, well, that's good. And I'm just like, dude, you got to understand, I don't rearrange my life to put something in the center unless the presence has changed me. Man, God is too good to make a fringe element of our life. And when we, I went to Disney with the kids a week or so ago, and so I was into all the Disney movies again, and I watched Aladdin, and it made me think of how Christians, they call on God to come out of the bottle when they need him, and then they force him back into that tiny little fringe living space. Man, he's called to be indwelling. He's called to change the space in our hearts. Jesus, change me. So as our young adults would put it, revolve. What's your center? What's the access point in your life that you're choosing to revolve around? Everyone has it. In this area, unfortunately, some people have it as sports teams, seasons. In this area, I mean, in any area of the life, in any area of the world, it could be anything else. It could be, you know, that person that has become their God. It can be the pursuit of their dream that is now, that's the only thing they live for. When Jesus comes in, the presence should change you. Amen? Number five, his presence brought them great joy. His presence brought them great joy. As I was speaking to a bunch of young people yesterday, I just told them, I said, there are too many people dealing with anxiety. There are too many people dealing with depression. There are too many people carrying heavy things because his presence brings joy. The Bible says in his presence there is fullness of joy. if you feel like you're not full of joy, then you're not in his presence enough. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. People say, man, I'm on all of these things, and my attitudes go up and they go down. Can I tell you, if you're in his presence regularly, there will be fullness of joy. Because God is the same God as he was yesterday, as he is today, and as he is forever, right? Amen? Can I tell you, God is interested in the things that you struggle with. Why? Because he's the answer for your solution. Jesus did not come and die on a cross so that we could have a little bit of power. He came so that we could have it all, the access point, his blood, what that does over our life. It gives us power. Don't live with squirt guns. His presence, it brought them great joy. They no longer, if you look at this, some of them are like, I should be getting paid. I'm not getting paid today. Not getting paid today. I told the boss I'd be in later. I'm not coming in later. Jesus is here. Everything's changed. Now, of course, they didn't do that every day. They'd need a job, right? We understand, be good stewards of what God's given you. But there should be a shift moment. There should be a change in your life. There should be a change in your situation. And when Jesus changes your situation, he changes your circumstances. When Jesus comes into your world, when you have that moment in his presence, circumstances change. If your circumstances aren't changing, you're not in his presence enough. Quiet. There's something about walking on palms, I'll tell you. When you get around Jesus, when he comes into our world, your joy level should rise. Not because everything has all of a sudden become perfect, but because the thing that matters most has been received, and that's salvation and his grace. I know some people that say, you know, the church only preaches, not our church, church in general, they only preach grace. No. First of all, the grace should be celebrated. Anybody thankful for God's grace? However, when Jesus comes into our life, it's not just about I can do whatever I want and grace will cover it. It's that the life that I now live has shifted because of his presence. And now my desire is to please him. My desire is to do all that God has called me to do. But they were full of joy. Number six, his presence created a heart of worship. You know, I come into church and how many know some days you come in and you're feeling it? Came in, you got your praise shoes on. You know, you came in your tracksuit. You're ready to go. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. No? You guys remember the whoosh, whoosh sound when you move? You were ready to go. But then some days you're just like, man, I'm struggling. It's a rough day. He's still God, and his presence, it should stir a heart of worship. I mean, I'll tell you, you can come in here completely cold, and all of a sudden the songs rise up, and it's not about the music. It's about the words, and it's about the hearts that we're putting behind it. And all of a sudden you see people encountering God, and you're like, it stirs worship in our heart. It stirs us to want to not just lay something down, but to give something up. Are you hearing me? This church has got to be a church of worship. This place has got to be a place where we're hungry to adore God in worship, where we're hungry to tell him how amazing he is, where we're passionate about praising him. Can we be people that are passionate about giving him some praise? Can we give him some praise? Can we say, God, you're too good. I'm not just going to do this. I'm not just going to do that. I got to do this. The Bible says, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. They were shouting. Shout! Holla! Somebody give God some praise. Yes. That's between you and God. I'm just here to God. I'm just creating opportunity. Verse number 9, it says, the people were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Somebody praise. That's what they're saying. They're like, oh man, he's here. It's his presence. It's what he's doing. Can somebody have a heart to say, I don't care who's to the left of me or who's to the right of me. I got to give God some praise. Okay. All right. So I'm moving on. I get it. You know what? I think some of you should stay for part two, for the second service, just to be able to get your worship rights. When Jesus becomes our center, the revelation of God's goodness towards us becomes so evident, we can't help but be stirred to worship. Whew, God, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's coming to the surface. I've got to worship him. I've got to adore him. I've got to celebrate him. When Jesus becomes our center, You know, you may come in here and it's harder to get into things. And, you know, there's a time in our life where, and you decide how long this time is in your life, but where you're still holding on to things you shouldn't, and it's hard to release the things you should. And before you know it, yeah, I know God, and Jesus is part of my life, but he's a fringe element. I haven't made him center because I won't let go of this thing that I'm holding, that I've kept in the center. You know, my kids are more important to me than God, so I've got to hold them during praise and worship rather than lifting my hands to the King of Kings. Whew! We've got people that are Corey checked, that love your kids, that want to be there for your kids, that want to show them Christ's love. All I'm asking is for somebody to raise their hands to Jesus like the Bible says. But we're too enamored by the gift God gave us than to praise the giver. Yeah, woo! Some of my most powerful worship moments, some of my most intimate worship songs I've ever written, have come from considering and meditating on God's goodness towards us through the undeserved gift of his Son. Nothing else is worth thinking about. Nothing else is worth giving time to. God's goodness, because of what he laid down for us, he looked across heaven and he bankrupted heaven for us. So that when we perish, we could actually not really perish. That we could have a life after this life. If only we would give up this life now to have a better life later. Yeah, yeah. That's the God that is giving all of his. He's saying, it's yours. Man, his presence should change something in your world. Are you getting anything out of this? The people's response towards his presence, number 7, created an atmospheric change. Literally, the atmosphere changed. What was going on in that city, in that town, it changed. Number verse 10, it said, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. It was in an uproar. And these people had not been schooled the way that you've been schooled. But they knew how to worship in a way that it was an uproar. Goodness gracious. Whew. I'm going to call the worship team back. We're going to praise again tonight. We got to get this thing right. Not yet. I'll let you know when. That's your warning. But the entire city was in an uproar as he entered. When God is in you and you are out in your world, don't allow the state of the world to change the fire burning within you. Man, you know, it's that moment where you're like, whoa! I know I knew about this yesterday, but his mercies are still new today. Are you kidding me? I don't deserve that. And you don't deserve that. Let me tell you about Jesus because you need that. Maybe not that way, right? But, you know, I talk a lot about being a thermostat Christian, not a thermometer Christian. Understanding that we do not get changed by the temperature around us. We're not a thermometer that just drops when the faith levels around us drop. We crank it up because we know who's indwelling. We know who Jesus is. We live from a place where we're not worried about what the world thinks, what the world considers popular, what the world considers trendy, what the world considers normal. What we're focused on is what Jesus has called us to, and that's always higher thinking. It's always, his ways are above our ways. So when the world thinks that, man, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just doing what God called me to do. And it feels good. So people's response towards his presence created a change in the atmosphere. Number 8, the people's response to Jesus got the city talking. You know, I heard reports that our mayor was talking about the church yesterday because of our response out of a heart of love from Jesus towards the city. And he's talking about how amazing it is to see us come out and how blessed they are to have this church in this city. And we just go, oh, it was nothing. No, it was something. It was actually love in action. It was what Jesus called us to do. Man, I still can't believe how many people turned up yesterday. Amazing. So the people's response to Jesus got the city talking. Verse 10, they said, who is this? They asked. The people were saying, this guy that has totally turned the city into something I've never seen before. All of a sudden, the atmosphere has changed. Who is this? I'll tell you, if you're willing to live at a 10 and not be concerned about what people think about you, people are eventually going to say, Who is this that you're living for? Why is your life full of joy when all of this stuff is going on in the world? When we read about that and when this thing is tearing us apart and when we're so uncertain about that and we can say, I'm not certain about anything other than Jesus, but Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. He changes you and people will ask you. In fact, I guarantee you, you had many opportunities this week to talk about God and his goodness. The question is whether we took it or not. Because every breath we've been given has been given for intent. There's intentionality behind it. God, if there's breath in your lungs, there's purpose in your life. We've got to believe that. Who is this? So it was the atmosphere change, the felt joy and happiness, the sense of humility and honor, the heart to serve Jesus that created genuine questions. Real, genuine questions. When we stop fearing what people will think about us, if we begin to live open about our faith, we will see many become interested in an honest way. And I'm out of time. Let me give you the number nine, the last point, as the band comes back. It says, the crowd testified to what they knew. The crowd testified to what they knew. Verse 11, the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It's that guy. It's the one you've already heard about. It's the one that you've been questioning. It's the one that you've already been thinking about. It's the name above all names. And you go, I don't know what it is about this guy. He's on all these magazines. Everyone talks about him. He's this heated, discussion on TV. It's the same Jesus that you've been questioning. It's the same one that even now as I speak to you, it stirs. It's Jesus. When we openly shine the light God has sparked in us, when we openly speak of God's goodness and witness to what we have seen and heard about Jesus, it begins to create a change in the atmosphere. Palm Sunday, it's about making way for our King. At that day and age, in that time, the King was coming. The King is here. He's indwelling. But for them, he's coming. Palm Sunday, it's also about celebrating the lamb that was on the way for slaughter, for humanity. What Jesus was coming into that city for. We don't just celebrate the cross in an empty tomb. We celebrate his willingness to go to the cross. Because that couldn't have been easy. Don't take that for granted. Look, next week we'll celebrate the cross. Good Friday, we are going to talk about the cross and what it means in our life. Come Easter, we are going to celebrate the empty tomb and what a resurrected life means for us. It's going to be an amazing weekend. But I'll tell you right now, this could be an amazing day for so many. Would you bow your heads?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.